Thankful for the prayer. Thankful for the prayer and for Robert leading us in the singing. We are extremely blessed here at State Street. We have three song leaders. We have quite a few preachers, don't we? Quite a few preachers. I think some of these here, they may get promoted, may end up preaching every week. I'll do everything I can to assist them. That might be exactly what we need. Looking over these notes, we have talked this morning about that Christians should tell others of Christ daily. They should bear their cross daily. And Christians should stand for the truth daily. And this evening we're going to continue that study, and I do want to read from Matthew chapter 6 again and encourage you to read this very often as we are talking about living one day at a time. If you want a big load to carry, carry the past. If that's not enough, go out into the future and be concerned and worried about it. If you look up the definition for worry in Webster's dictionary, Noah Webster, he says there's a difference between worry and deep concern. He said if your children are traveling, you will be deeply concerned about them. And I don't know whether he mentions pray for them, but knowing that he translated, I know at least the New Testament, if not all of the Bible, I think he would have said that on his own. So we have been so blessed that God is watching over us every single day. As we sing, he holds our hand. He goes before us. We often pray that he would lead and guide us and guard us. And God does all of that. But we don't need to add the future on to what we have to bear every single day. And I hope and encourage everyone to attempt to do what Jesus said. You'll have a lot happier life. Obviously, Jesus meant what he said, and he knew we could do this. So we can't say, well, I just can't do that living one day at a time. I've got to worry about tomorrow. Then you're not doing the Lord's will. God doesn't want you to worry. And we know what the problem would be. The problem would be just having more faith. That we all have a weak faith at some times, and it's not always as strong as we would like or should be. And that is true. And that was true of the apostles. And you know if it's true of the apostles, it's going to be true of us. I want to read from Matthew 6 and in verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So the subject is living one day at a time. And he tells them, if you're really worrying about these things and taking great thought for these things and anxious about these things, he says, O ye of little faith. Therefore, take no thought, that is, don't be anxious or worried, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? How am I going to pay the power bill? How am I going to pay the doctor? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? We put it in before God. God can handle the problem. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Whatever things that we have need of, doesn't God know? God knows what we have need of. There's no doubt that that God permits us at times to have lack in some areas. There were times that Paul was hungry and thirsty. Times the apostles were put into prison, not the ideal place to be. But God was with them. You can read about Joseph in the book of Psalms and And he was in prison, and they hurt Joseph. It uses that word, with the fetters they put on him. Joseph actually had pain and hurt from the chains or the fetters. But it also says that the Lord was with him. So God is with us, and God will bless us. Heavenly Father, knoweth that you have need of all these things. We had a good brother. He's still alive in Meridian, Mississippi. He's a black brother in Christ. And he told me on many occasions, he would say, you know, if you were able to write down on a sheet of paper and put a line vertically down the middle of the sheet, and he said, you got one side, you might put what you want. And he said, on the other side, you put down what you need. And he would say, God knows the difference. A lot of times we want things we don't really need. But God knows what the needs are, and he will provide them. So, in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put God first. Put religion first. I appreciate this congregation. I appreciate I think we have great attendance on Sunday evening. A lot of congregations larger than us wouldn't have anywhere near the number that we have this evening. I appreciate this congregation, and I know that we seem to be laboring together, and I think things are going to improve, that we're going to have a good year and a blessed year. In verse 34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Don't be worried. Don't be fretting. Don't be anxious and concerned about what may happen tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We were talking about different things that we could do daily. I suppose one of the greatest things that we can do as Christians is just try to be busy. Everyone has certain things that need to be done. Younger people, generally, they get up and they go to work, and they work all day. Some of them have not yet married. Some of them do not have extended families. Others of them may, but certainly you've got a lot of things to do. And that's true of each and every one. Everyone has to be concerned about their employment, about income. They're out there busy. But we need to be concerned about being busy in the service of God. And Brother Richard touched upon it, and that is when we come to this time on the first day of the week when we worship God, we are active participants, aren't we? Active participants. I was pretty much too light to really play football in high school, but I played in an independent league as a ninth grader. And my dad told me, which I didn't have any problem doing, he said, son, he said, if you ever stand along there around and then you're not in, he says, you stand by the coach. He said, you get right by that coach. And he said, he's going to be looking for somebody. And he said, he's going to see you and he's going to send you in. Later in the year, I had an injury that didn't keep me from playing, but I didn't play quite as much on every single team. But I was one of the two people running those plays back and forth. There were two of us back and forth running those plays in. So you need to be a participant. And I do want to point out that we have had some step up and volunteer. I often think about Tennessee being the volunteer state. I would like to think about State Street, and we are in Virginia, being the volunteer congregation, right? Volunteer congregation. We have come to this point tonight that as we have opportunity, we should encourage other Christians, even on a daily basis. There's no doubt that the New Testament teaches in the first century, Christians were doing this. In Hebrews 3 and 13, he says, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. He said, exhort one another daily. Now, put yourself back there in the first century. How are you going to do that? Well, maybe you've got a brother that's a long way off. You don't have time to exhort that particular brother. My understanding of it would be that the gospel spread, and there were, you imagine, just think of all the people that were healed by Jesus. And then the apostles were healing people as well. The 70 were sent out, and they could heal people. Just think about all of those people that were being healed. Well, I would say most of them would believe the truth. I think I would if I was healed. And then they would go out and they would talk to their neighbors. I don't have any doubt that many of the Christians, as they would assemble together, wherever it was they were assembled together, that they had brethren close by. Maybe other family members, because very often the gospel goes from a person's home to the extended family, to others outside, to neighbors. I know in our neighborhood, down one house from us, most of the family became members of the church. Across the street, two houses down, some of them became members of the church, largely due to my mother talking to them. And then Bible studies being held by different individuals. So I would assume it was like that in the first century. And he says that we need to exhort one another daily. So in my judgment, we can do that now better than any time. Would you agree with that? Who would have imagined that we would be carrying around telephones that we can talk to one another? We can look at one another, right? I'm always amazed that we can talk to one another and look at one another. I know I'm going to offend somebody. And some of y'all, they just keep wanting to type to one another, okay? There's advantages to that, I would admit. That's all right. I'm not ridiculing you. But I very often say, we're not in the telegraph age, are we? And then you have your computers, you have your Facebook. We have a greater means, and not everybody has those things, but we have a greater means of communication. Just with the telephone alone, pick it up. You can call a brother or sister in Christ, pick it up and encourage them. And we need the encouragement. We need the exhortation, because he says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There's not a single person here that does not need to be exhorted. Every one of us needs encouragement. Every one of us needs exhortation. And that's what he said, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The devil is very, very deceitful. The devil will slip up on you, won't he? As we talk about in the book of Galatians, overtaken in a fault. The devil will slip up on us, and so we need to always be encouraging one another. And we do that at the worship services, do we not? A lot of brethren miss most of the services. I can't tell you why. Maybe some of them are working night shift or second shift. But we have a lot of, maybe they feel they're too far away. Some are not healthy enough. I understand that. So I don't know all of the reasons. Maybe you don't. But the ideal thing is to attend every service. You will be exhorted. You will be exhorted. You will be encouraged. As Richard said, you're encouraged by the prayers. You're encouraged by these songs that we sing. Engage on the first day of the week in remembering Jesus and his death until he comes. The Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 beginning. And we do want to say, if you notice the punctuation, and I agree with it, I think it agrees with English and Greek both, that he has two sentences there. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, colon. That's not the end of the sentence. So we are to consider one another. We are to provoke unto love and provoke and encourage one another unto good works. And then he says how and when, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That has reference to what was just said. Not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. If you read the book of Hebrews, and I would encourage you to read the whole book, it'd be very, in my judgment, pretty simple for most of us. Some have harder time reading because of their eyes. But most of us would be able to read the book of Hebrews. And it is a book written because there were so many, there were Christians, I don't know how many, but there were Christians that had come out of the of Judaism or the law of Moses. They had been converted, and there was a tendency for some of them to go back into that old law and to apostatize from the faith. And that's what the book of Hebrews is about. And some of them, it was neglect. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And we have a great emphasis on showing that we have a greater high priest, don't we? We have a greater high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So many things in the book of Hebrews and the Old Testament, these things were typical of things that were better to come. And we, like we sang a few moments ago, stand on the promises of God. So we don't want to give up assembling. You want to get weak as a Christian? Give up on assembling. Yes, it is true. If you're not able to come, we have Rose and others, they're just not able to come. But we can encourage her. And I know the brethren visit and do what we can with those that are shut in, unable to come. Very often, Betty is not able to come. And I know the brethren are concerned and visit and call and check on her. So when we can, as much as possible, we want to assemble together. And, of course, the early Christians, like all Christians throughout history, have assembled to worship God. And he says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I will just say this on that. There are quite a few opinions on that. And I've known, I guess, quite a few preachers, and I've heard them express what they think that's talking about. Some teach that it was the destruction of Jerusalem. That may be. It wouldn't be too many years off. It just seems a little strange to me that it would be that. Some teach, because he talks about the judgment in the same context, which shall devour the adversaries. Some think it's a judgment day. There are other views on that. I am not certain what it is. Just as a Christian, I said upon one occasion when we were in school that we should look forward and exhort one another, looking forward to the first day of the week. I don't think I've read where others taken that position, so much the more as you see the day coming or approaching. And one brother told me, he said, well, we're not able to do that. And I said, well, Hebrews chapter 3 and 13 says to do that, exhort one another daily. So I can't tell you for certain what that is, but it was something that they were looking forward to, that they could see and understand. Some think it's the second coming in the sense that we're reading the Bible, we're looking forward to it, we don't know the day nor the hour, and you know, a good many years had passed by the time Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. But we are to exhort one another daily. We do that in the worship services. And then the Bible teaches us that we should study and meditate on the Scriptures daily. Sister Tonda, can't help but be thinking about her. She did that on a regular basis. Didn't have a lot of time, and I was requested by the family not to have a long service. I mentioned about her studying the Bible and understanding the Bible and teaching the Bible. We have several sisters and a good many here that work on the Ladies' Day. We have several that have spoken, some here, some in other places. And, of course, Sister Tonda did that a lot, did a lot of work. And we have sisters that are here in the congregation, and they work together. They have ladies' Bible classes. I had one attend one time when... they're not worshiping with us now, but we'll forget. We had one in the ladies' Bible class where I teach. I think everybody knows we have more than one ladies' Bible class. And the ladies share and work on teaching during the week. And then I teach one on Tuesday. And the question arose, said, well, just why are you teaching this anyway? You're a man, and the women ought to teach the women. Some of them were kind of surprised by that. But I said, well, the elders want me to do it. And I said, I've told the members if they want me, if the ladies want me, I'll let one of them teach. But they at the time, they wanted me. But I can't help but think about Tonda and the work she did, and other ladies that are here. And you don't hear a lot about it, but we have, and our teachers, so many of the teachers are ladies, and I admire that. God will reward you for your work. But we need to study and meditate upon the Scriptures daily. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. This was talking about in Berea. And you remember, they had to leave. Paul and them had to leave very suddenly out of Thessalonica. He wasn't as well received overall there. But he got to this place called Berea, and they had a readiness of mind to hear the truth. And the Old Testament Scriptures, they were searching those Old Testament Scriptures because Paul was teaching them about Christ, and they're searching them every single day. I have some books in the library by those that we call liberal. I would say they're the ones that don't really stay right with the Bible, and they like to go beyond the Bible. I don't approach the Bible in that way. And so I have read in some of the books that I have where they'll talk about this Scripture and say, well, that doesn't have any application to us today. Did that ever cross your mind? Did that ever cross? Well, he went into and taught the Jews in the synagogue. Yes, he did, in different places. The point is that they search the Scriptures daily. I think about the book of Psalms. A book of Psalms, a book of prayers, a book of comfort, a book that deals with trials, troubles, tribulations, David, others, so many subjects in that psalm. And you have a beginning of the book. If you ever read any book, if it's a good book, you want to make sure it will have a very good beginning and hopefully a very good ending. The Bible's that way, isn't it? It begins with the creation and ends with us being with our Creator up in heaven. You couldn't write a better book. Well, in Psalm 1 and verse 1, David said, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful," which tells me it makes a difference who your friends are. Makes a difference which crowd you run with. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." You know, David did not have a lot of the Bible back then. He had the first five books. And then I don't have any doubt that he had probably Joshua and Judges. These things had taken place. And probably the book of Ruth, or was being written at about this time. So he did not have a whole lot of Scripture like we do. But he said the person that reads and studies the Word or the law of God is like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. "Bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." It is good to meditate, to read, to search, to study the Word of God. Preachers preach this all the time, and I am very glad that we have so many here that do study the Scriptures. I don't say very much, but the ladies that come to the Bible class, they get up Tuesday, they make preparation, they drive to these classes, they hunger and thirst after righteousness, and I've always appreciated them for coming. We invite others to come if you're able. Maybe there's someone here that never been washed by the blood of the Lamb. The book of Revelation, those that overcame, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. You want to go to heaven, you've got to have the blood. You want to go to heaven, you're going to have to be different than the scribes and the Pharisees. You'll have to be sincere. Your Lord called him over and over again. We studied this morning Luke 11, and later on, we read in Matthew chapter 23, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. If you need to come to the Lord and you've gone astray, come back. If you've never obeyed the Great Commission, now's the time to repent and be baptized into Christ. We encourage you to do that as we stand and as we sing.